Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. My name is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocates. Today, we are going to be promoting that people change their photo status on Facebook to CDC whistleblower William W. Thompson's photo to call attention to the fact that Bill Posey, a representative from Florida, has said on the floor of the House that documents have been thrown away or put in the garbage that revealed the link between the MMR vaccine and autism, as well as the increased percentage of black boys who will be affected by this. So he is calling it racist, and it is. It's also being called Tuskegee II for that reason. Hard to say that word for me. Anyway, okay, let's see where she is. Where's my friend Cindy Walsh, who has started by changing her? It says, I am on my way home. Oh, my goodness, she's not going to be here for 5 to 10 minutes. Well, that's fine. Cindy Walsh is her name, and she has posted a photo of William W. Thompson as her photo status on Facebook. Now, I have to tell you, I'll just tell her, okay. Oh, dear. I thought she was ready to go. Anyway, doesn't matter. I'll tell you a little bit about the history of changing one's photo status. I know when the FBI said that Paul Thorsen was one of the 25 most wanted people, I changed my photo status to Paul Thorsen, and I actually did it on April Fool's Day. But, you know, who are the fools? The fools are us. They know where he is, and they can extradite him from Belgium anytime they darn well please, but they're not doing it. How can he be the most wanted, and they're not extraditing him to the United States to stand trial? They say he has stolen, I think it's $2 million in research grant money, and yet this man has had produced false reports, which again, Representative Bill Posey has brought to the attention of both the CDC, the NIH, and the Government Oversight Committee of the Congress. So we're not going to bring him here unless we actually want to bring him to trial and question him, you know? And a lot of people don't want that to happen. A lot of autism parents, however, do want that to happen. Well, when William W. Thompson's revealing of the MMR vaccine as associated with autism and the increase in black boys, Brian Hooker brought that story to light, along with the Autism Media Channel and Andrew Wakefield. So ever since, I've been trying to upload his photo, which was tiny, to my photo status, and I was reaching out for people's help because I didn't know how to do this. You know, I'm not particularly technically proficient. And then I saw it on Cindy Walsh's photo status, and she was able to enlarge it for me. And now I can share this with everybody, and we can all do this together. So I have to let somebody know that I'm on air so that they don't talk to me right now. Hold on. On air now. Talk later. Okay, good. Now, so, yes, also I've used the photo status to bring light to Jane Burgomeister. Jane Burgomeister did something quite extraordinary. She tried to stop the pandemic from happening, and her country of Austria had brought her in for questioning regarding her mental health. And we were very sincerely concerned that she would not emerge from this questioning. So everybody who was concerned for her freedom, and she wanted us to be concerned for her freedom, she put out a call, please be concerned for my freedom. And so we all, at least I know I did, put her picture as my photo status while she was not available, you know, to keep her in the forefront of people's minds. Now, why do we do this? We are keeping people in the forefront of people's minds about the CDC whistleblower because the Oversight Committee has not questioned him. The Senate, there was a committee created in the Senate that questioned Margaret Shuchat of the CDC, and that was just after William W. Thompson had been granted whistleblower status by the president. So when they said they were going to be questioning the CDC, I was like, yay! Finally, the whistleblower will have his day before Congress or the Senate in that particular instance. And I didn't care who questioned him as long as the truth got out. And lo and behold, to add insult to injury, after the charade of Colleen Boyle and the man whose name from the CDC and the man from the NIH whose name eludes me, I understand he recently retired. So after that, and the and a lot of information not being revealed by them, we had the Senate questioning Margaret Shuchat. And I always refer to that session as a festival of lies, because how can you, with a straight face and a sincere expression, you know, this woman is, I give her Best Actress Award. That's about all I can think of awarding her with, Best Actress. So anyway, we have some time to kill here while Cindy gets home and can call into the program, which, believe me, I didn't realize was a difficulty, or I would have set the program for later. But regardless, she's done something that will possibly help turn the tide. And this is why we're asking you to change your photo status to William W. Thompson. Now, when you see this interview, please open the actual link to the interview, because directly under it, you will see the photo that we're asking you to grab and upload to your photo status on Facebook. And that is, of course, the little square photo that represents who you are. So now everybody who sees my name sees William W. Thompson's picture and wonders, why does she have a man who is representing as her? Why? To call attention to the fact that all of these bills are being voted on and passed in different states, and there should not be one vote taken, not one, until the CDC whistleblower has been questioned. And he's asking to be questioned. He wants to tell the truth. So I have called Congress. I have called my congressperson and said, I want you to request that he be questioned. I have called the Congressional Oversight Committee, and Jason Chavez, I believe is his name, and requested that he subpoena William W. Thompson, or just invite him since he wants to be questioned, and also Elijah Cummings. Now, this is somebody we might consider targeting in terms of requesting. Everybody's contacting the chair, but Elijah Cummings is the standing member of the Oversight Committee, and he is, I guess, second in command. He is also a black man. So I would like people not to neglect to contact him directly, not just Jason Chavez, but Elijah Cummings, because he also, by the way, he did a very good job of questioning the CDC and the NIH back in 2012, and I thought that he was bona fide concerned about this issue of autism. If that is true, it would behoove us not only to leave messages for him in particular. You know, he has a bona fide concern. I did not get in any way that he was making light of this as a very serious issue, which, you know, I'm delighted by. And in light of the fact that 3.5 times the number of black boys will be affected, he should be especially concerned. This has come to light since the 2012 questioning. So RFK Jr. has turned to the Black Caucus to ask them to activate in this regard because it is a racial issue in the fact that such a large percentage of black boys will be affected above and beyond all others, and they have not responded to him. He then turned to Louis Farrakhan, who took it as a serious issue and called for this to be an issue on October 10th at the Million Man March. So the CDC whistleblower, the disproportionate number of black boys who are becoming autistic from the MMR vaccine, which we covered up, this will be an issue at the Million Man March. Now, I see if my guest is in before I continue. Hold on. Oh, she's here. Oh, my goodness.
Hi.
Hi, Cindy Walsh. I hadn't realized you called in. Wonderful. Thank you for changing your photo status and giving me a picture large enough so that I, too, could do that.
Yeah, I got a big picture. I just thought we're going to mess with Google's facial recognition and get that picture in Google.
Well, wonderful. Would you like to tell us what it brings you to the vaccine fight? Because it's a fight. It's an uphill battle. We're trying to prevent children from falling, as so many we know have already. What brings you to this issue?
I have a...
Can I ask you if that noise is coming from you, that kind of noise in the background?
Well, I have two vaccine-injured kids, identical twins, and one is almost recovered. And so when they kept saying it was genetic, I kept saying, look at them. They look very different. They have different symptoms. Different things affected them. And why are they different? And they go, well, I don't know. can you hold on just for a minute? I have somebody at the door. keep talking for a minute.
No problem. Well, as so often is the case, she herself and her family has been affected directly by vaccine injury. You know, I certainly have. Everybody I know who's in this fight mostly has been affected directly. Yes.
Okay,
Cindy.
I'm back.
Okay, you were saying that you have twin boys?
Yeah, I have twin boys. I have identical twins. And ironically, they don't even believe me about the vaccines. And if I didn't detox them, they couldn't even have that conversation. So
I have the mailman and the dog is going to bark. Hold on just a second. Don't be going Oh, Lord. Okay, well, we're going to keep going. Okay, go ahead, Cindy.
Okay, so I was sick for 20, 30 years with various things, and once I found out that the kids were autistic, I'd gone to back then it was called a DAN conference, and they had talked about the yeast and the mercury and all of those things. And I thought, that's me, that's me, that's what I need, that's my problem. And except that the mercury that I had was from my dental amalgams, and so, which means that they were born with mercury because I got them, I was like maybe in high school or elementary school. So I learned there's more than one way, and that you can be born with it, and that... people get vaccines when they're pregnant, so that's another way to get the mercury. And then if you knew my father's background, he's chock full of yeast and diabetic, and he's got all kinds of health issues. And my father, I learned from that how badly I had to detox from yeast. Yeast is a hard thing to recover from, and the Lyme on top of that. So I started to do the research on the vaccines.
Very important. What's important here is that nobody's recognizing, except for William W. Thompson, that it's the MMR vaccine, which does not contain thimerosal or mercury. It is the measles virus that has always caused autism, be it the MMR or the single measles virus. Certainly, mercury and thimerosal cannot help. That does not help. But he has in fact verified what Dr. Cawley has been saying for years. It's the actual measles virus. And we have the documents on our legislation, Vaccine Free 2015, that proves this, that they knew that way back when. Over 30 years ago, they knew that.
When my kids had that vaccine, it's like their face changed. It's like they look different. You can see it in their face. You know, the unknown rashes just started appearing, and they're like, oh, he's got eczema, but he didn't have eczema before that. You know, I knew it was the vaccine, and I had gone to an acupuncturist, and she had the book, not Vaccine Epidemic, the one before that, and She had this book, and I was like, see, it is the vaccines. I told you. I knew it, you know. And I started to talk to her, and it's like I finally had found a doctor who gets it, you know. After everybody does, you go to the doctor, and they kick you out for not vaccinating. But I knew I wasn't going to do any more vaccines after that. But it took me a long time to figure that out. It's not something that you do overnight, because they feel like, well, if you don't, you're going to get the disease, and if you do, you get autism, and you're screwed either way, you know. But
right.
But then I start to research it, and you realize that the efficacy of the vaccines are not as much as what they say, and some people can be exposed and not get sick, and some people have a stronger immune system, but you don't know that until you get the vaccine. You don't test genetics. You don't test anything. They just give everybody the same thing.
Well, you may not be affected right away. You know, there are long-term effects. Certainly the polio vaccine from the 50s and 60s, tainted with the SV40 cancer virus, has affected everybody in my age group. Everybody who took that vaccine has cancer. And they knew that this was going to happen. And
right.
Maybe, you know.
Have you ever read Dr. Mary's Monkey? They talk about that, and I think it was Salk had, you know, Jonas Salk, that he's known in the vaccine community, you know, and he said that Sabin's vaccine, the oral vaccine that they used to replace Salk's vaccine, he said that's what gave everyone cancer. He's
well,
like,
he said
that's stuff
what
made
everyone
sick.
Polio. He said that's what made
polio.
Polio.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he,
and
yeah.
Yeah.
I have an exact
that
quote. I don't have the quote in front of me.
The mass inoculation program with that vaccine caused the increase in polio. And polio had run its course when the polio vaccine was introduced. So it had already run its course, and it was reintroduced thanks to these vaccines. But the intent is to cause the diseases they claim to prevent. So we don't want to be in any way unclear about that.
And, you know, and DPT, you know, they were claiming how safe it was, and it was causing, you know, quote-unquote, the polio-like symptoms, too. And they were spraying, kids were running, there were trucks running with the mosquito spray through the yard, and kids were running behind it thinking it was fun. You know, and then coming up with polio later. So it's like it's rather complicated, you know.
Well, I know they were spraying New York a lot for the West Nile virus. And after any time they sprayed, I remember calling my sister and telling her to keep her small children in the house. But, you know, it comes through the air conditioning. It comes through every which way because it's summer and people leave their doors open and they have air conditioning. But all the birds in my neighborhood would be dead. I mean, what they were spraying was certainly killing the birds.
True. So, you know, the polio, they spread the polio and then they blame it on the unvaccinated, and that it also, if you look at the third world countries, they would get, some of them getting vaccinated like monthly, you know, or they couldn't leave the country or they couldn't buy stuff or they, anything that they did, they had to get vaccinated. And then if they got vaccinated, then they give them the clean water and the good sanitation. And then they said that the vaccines were the cause, you know, so it's kind of mixed up.
I know, and these tragedies in Haiti, everybody thinks they just ran in with the cholera vaccine, But I met the woman who ran the program for UNICEF to give 5 vaccines to these children, including the measles vaccine and I believe it was the whooping cough vaccine. I don't have the sheet in front of me, but I thought, oh, my Lord, you know, they really hit them hard. And I remember that somebody sent them a large seed for corn, but it was GMO corn, so they burned it in Haiti. Unfortunately, they didn't know enough to burn the vaccine, you know?
Right, right.
But they did know enough to burn. They're hungry. They don't have food. Their land has been destroyed, and yet they're burning what they know to be a toxic substance. Unfortunately for their children, people have been so duped by this decades-old deceit of vaccines are safe, effective, and prevent disease, I'm sure many of the children have gone down as a result. Is the clean bottle of water and the small amount of food worth a life of paralysis from the polio vaccine or autism from the measles vaccine? Water worth it? I would say a resounding no. And they sent in Doctors Without Borders. Why didn't they send in Plumbers Without Borders? They need sanitation.
Right, right. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. You know, they do much better to clean the water. They're using the same water as a toilet to bathe themselves, and you know that's not right. There was a river in India that they believe it's holy or something, and that they would put their dead in the water, and that's the water they would use for a bath. You know, that's disgusting.
Uh-huh. Well, at least people are natural. Unless, of course, they've been shot up with vaccines, in which case they're probably not even biodegradable.
Right. They're hazardous waste, the live ones, anyway.
Right. That's so true. We are walking hazardous waste. Oh, Lord. That's not...
You drop it on the...
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, you drop it on the floor, and it's hazardous waste, but you can put it in your kid, and it's just fine.
Exactly.
You know, that's terrible.
In the same room with it. Exactly. Hazardous protocol cleanup. If you break one of these light bulbs filled with mercury, and that's of course another thing. They took the other light bulbs off the market. I understand they're back now, but they cost twice as much. Now to get a non-mercury laden light bulb, you have to pay twice as much.
It's like a quote from my mother. She said, "We're paying twice as much for stuff it doesn't even have." You know, like you're paying for, you shouldn't have to pay extra for something that's third on the list of the most toxic substances. Like, that doesn't make sense, you know?
Right, right. Well, no, but I mean, the non-mercury light bulbs that they have now brought back, they for a while had taken them off the market, and when they brought them back, they're now twice as expensive. So you're paying a premium not to be poisoned by mercury. It's all dollars and cents. If you can afford in some fashion to get out of their agenda, then you win. It's getting to the point, though, that you will have to be part of the 1% in order to afford such a luxury as a non-poisoned child.
Right, right, and that's kind of hard to do these days. You know, when you start to read labels and really know what you're injecting your child or what you're feeding them or what's in the water and really paying attention, you know, that's the whole point of it, is just paying attention. It's really hard to keep away from all of that.
Now, do help us by breaking down the adverse reactions each of your two children had to vaccination, and if it was just the MMR or if they were multiple shots given to your children.
They had the regular 1 year. It was around 1 year was when I saw the changes. It was the MMR and whatever comes with it. So I think that's like another 2 or 3. I don't have offhand mm-hmm. exactly which ones they were, but we were following the schedule.
Oh, brother.
So the difference between them.
The first year of life is the most.
Right.
The most vaccines they will ever give a child, isn't it? And when they cannot benefit, I mean, you posted the video about Nancy Banks. She said children
right.
cannot benefit from immunity for the first 3 years of life. You
right.
know, and we're mandating flu shots in my backyard for 6 months through 5 years. And on the insert, it says there was no benefit analysis through the age of four. There was no known benefit through the age of four, and we're mandating them for our babies. And the CDC said the flu shot doesn't work anyway, and nobody's listening to that.
The flu shot, I think, like last year was like, quote me if I'm wrong, like 23% effective. You know, like
well,
we should drive.
Well, they said it's not effective, and then they said 23% effective, so they could get people to get boosters. So that, oh, it's only 23%, so if you get two, I guess it'll be 46% effective? I mean, where are they coming up with that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I kept saying, well, would you ride in a plane with somebody who passed 23% of their plane exam? You know, would you get in a cab with somebody who only passed 23% of their driver's test? You know, then you say that's the best you can do. Like, that sucks.
Right, and they're not acknowledging the risk. They never talk about the risk. Anybody who wants to talk about the risk can be, you know, will be censored. And there are serious risks. You know, Guillain-Barré is no joke. I'm about to interview a man who has Guillain-Barré after I get off the phone with you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had interviewed a ton of people. I'm actually writing a book more about, it's about all of the things that cause autism. I mean, I've got two chapters on the vaccine part of it, but I've got all this info from Brian Hooker, and but the main thing is that I was trying to say that, you know, when they define autism, you define it as a lack of communication, and I'm kind of saying they are communicating. We're just not picking it up. They're trying to tell us they're in pain. And what do you do when you have an itch and you can't talk about it? You scratch. And instead of giving them something to stop the itch, we put gloves on them and say it's a bad behavior. You know, the kid's on the floor screaming because his head feels like there's an anvil on it, and they just say, oh, it's just autism. You know, like, no, the kid's in pain. Let's deal with the pain. Like you would any other kid.
I beseech you to interview Dr. Carly, please, about autism. She certainly has been doing this for a very long time. I've actually wanted Brian Hooker and Dr. Carly to have a conversation because they have two different perspectives. And I had wanted to, you know, them to talk as fellow scientists and
Great.
Parents of autistic and parents of autistic children. At the time, Brian Hooker was trying to come on my show about the CDC whistleblower. And I said to him, and I didn't know that, and he couldn't say it. And I was saying to him, I'm sorry, but you have to come on with Dr. Carly. Very important to have this discussion as fellow scientists with autistic children who have two completely different perspectives. And so he kept saying, no. I just want to come on the show, and I said, no, I really, and I, if he told me why, because he was about to verify what Dr. Carly was saying in the revelation from William W. Thompson. So it was pretty, you know, the only thing that Thompson has been quoted saying in regard to thimerosal is tics. Tics are not an outcome from as a result of autism. So that's not really the one thing he's using to say thimerosal is related to autism producing tics. Tics is definitely an outcome from thimerosal, but it is not one of the designated symptoms of autism.
They're kind of just lumping it all together. You know, everything is autism as an excuse to not treat it. You know. That you know, Thompson said he was paralyzed, that the CDC was paralyzed from acting on anything to do with autism. So So they just say, oh, it's genetic and he's autistic and that's it. You can't do anything about it.
Well, they weren't paralyzed.
And everybody's heard that.
They got together in a meeting and threw out a bunch of documents. That doesn't sound like they're paralyzed to me. It sounds like a cover-up to me.
Yeah.
So let's redefine paralyzed, shall we?
Well, you know, I want to see a hearing. I want to really see some solid action, you know, we're doing the best we can to get that information out, but, you know, I want to really see something, contact Congressman Chavez to get a hearing and really get this out in the open and make this public.
Well, I'm asking people, and I did at the beginning of this while I was waiting for you to get home, to contact Elijah Cummings, who I believe is called the standing member of the Oversight Committee.
Okay.
He's a black man. He's a black man. And we are talking about a significant racial issue here. They're calling it Tuskegee, too. This is not a non-pointed. Now, mind you, most of the people I've been interviewing about autism have been white, if you want the truth. So I haven't really experienced this. But now that he's said it, I'm really looking at it. And, yes, I do see a significant increase in dark children. But it's taken me a while to really kind of, you know, dig and see that in fact, bears validity.
They kind of make it into a racial thing and try to up the violence and try to make it seem like, oh, because he's black, he's doing this or something, and they're like, that's not it. Like, you can see sometimes that's low serotonin. The serotonin's in your gut. It's 80% in your gut. So, you know, Wakefield's saying that the gut is messed up and they have low serotonin. That's where the low serotonin comes from. And that there was a study from University of Virginia, and they said change all the textbooks because they found lymph nodes in the brain. And so they found a connection between the immune system and the brain. So you've got the immune system in the gut, and the immune system in the brain is a one big system. It's all connected. So when they're saying the science is settled, well, the scientists at University of Virginia say change the textbooks. Science is new. We thought we had the body all mapped out, but apparently not. So...
Well, I also want to be really clear about thimerosal does cause brain damage. You know, it does cause brain damage. When I say it doesn't cause autism, I'm not saying it doesn't cause brain damage. Heck yeah, it does.
Encephalitis.
Clear about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well,
look up encephalitis and Merck, and it sounds just like autism.
Well, encephalitis is from the measles virus. That's from the measles virus.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There has never been thimerosal or mercury in a measles vaccine, be it single or triple. Never has been in it. So that's why I'm trying to separate the two issues so that people can see what's causing autism versus what's causing brain damage or tics. Because there are so many different. In fact, years ago, I was at a conference regarding deaf-blind people, and they were saying, we have to get together to increase our numbers with the traumatic head injury group, which are basically a group of people who've been in car crashes and had traumatic head injury that way. Well, you know, this is good. We must get together with people who are deaf and blind, people who have traumatic head injuries, people who have anything, but quite frankly, we are talking specifically about the damage that vaccines are doing to our children, you know? And blindness and deafness is among them.
Right. I agree with everything you just said. I don't know. I didn't have anything to add. But, I agree with all of that. Don't get measles, mumps, and rubella at the same time, you know, naturally. That's too much at the same time. And just adding all these vaccines as like a triple or a quadruple vaccine is really causing havoc all over. So, you know, Dr. Wakefield didn't say to stop the MMR, he said to split them up. You know, and
but
as soon as he said to split them
point.
Up, they stopped splitting them up.
Yeah, but you have to understand that the children he's studied have had the triple. I don't know that he's done any studies with children. No. But let me finish. I don't know that he's done any studies with children who just had the single measles virus, because
I don't know either.
What's important here is that over the document on my bill, Vaccine-Free 2015, unearthed the fact that over 30 years ago, just the single measles vaccine was causing the same effect. And that's why we're trying to keep people focused on what's actually causing autism. And the fact that they're, you know, using the measles vaccine as the big scare tactic, you know, it's kind of like, how much can they make people confused, you know? It is just so confusing to the average person who has to deal with all the disinformation and why things are being disinformed about specific things at a specific time in history. And, you know, but I want you to look, and I'm going to post in the comment area underneath this interview, the document that proves that they knew over 30 years ago that the measles vaccine, single measles vaccine, was causing autism.
Nice.
And they, of course, did nothing about it.
Yeah. They just to say vaccines are so important and don't seem to care as it's our children are the collateral or, you know, great for the greater good or something, whatever they say, something like that. And you know, your child's important. You know, all the lives matter.
Right?
It's Black Lives Matter, all the lives matter.
Right, and all the lies matter too, LIES. Because the herd immunity is a lie. It is a theory based on natural immunity having nothing to do with vaccination. And it was 50 to 65% of the population when they are immune to something, then everybody else benefits. However, they hijacked this, the pharmaceutical industry, and they're calling for 95% must be vaccinated for what they're calling immunization, which is so far, you know, vaccines destroy immunity. That's what they actually do. So it's the polar opposite of what they're telling you. And so they're claiming, you know, it's just so amazing how I interviewed a fellow, and you need to know this, and everyone who's listening here needs to know this. He wrote an entire book on AIDS. He had used industry sources. He had checked and cross-referenced and done all of his research, and he published it. And then he got on the computer, like after this was, you know, the computer became popular and was a good resource, and he wound up having to start all over again with a completely different resolve. He was 1,000% wrong from all of the medical texts that he had been researching. He found all of it to be a lie, and a very well cross-referenced lie. You know, so this is what's happening with vaccines. And basically what Jane Burgermeister's interview with Crystal Myers revealed is that it's the cure that's killing you when it comes to HIV and AIDS, just like the prevention is killing you when it comes to vaccination. So, you know, and by the way, the flu shot, it says on the insert, may result in a positive HIV outcome. You may, you know, so then you get on these dangerous killer drugs that are supposed to cure you. Instead, that's what's killing you. And so you can embark on this whole journey if you take a flu shot and wind up with a false positive HIV.
Wow, I didn't know that one. Put that one in your links too.
Yeah, the interview with Jane Burgermeister, it is just startling. I certainly will.
Yeah, that was a new one for me, but I'm not at all shocked, as I've heard it all by now. It's just, you don't laugh, you'll cry, you know.
Well, what are you, I don't know what state you live in, but are you taking any action publicly? Do you try to educate parents? Do you confront doctors? Is there anything you do actively in your neighborhood to raise awareness or to try to stop it? Do you meet with legislators? What have you done physically?
I can give you a story real quick. Is that in 2009, when the whole swine flu was happening, they were giving out swine flu vaccines in school during school hours, you know, where my kids were. And this is supposed to be a test case for the whole county. And so, So I tried to talk to the principal, and she blew me off. And, you know, the teacher says, oh, I don't have control over it. And, you know, they all blew me off. So I ended up calling they said I had to call the county doctor. So I called him a whole bunch of times, and he just kept quoting the CDC over and over again. And he blew me off, too. And I don't know if I would recommend this, but it worked. It was still bizarre. But they were sending out a notice of who wanted to volunteer for the flu shot. And I hit reply all and told them, you need to know the risk versus benefit, and these are the risks. And some of the people didn't talk to me, and they were angry with me, but a lot of people didn't get it. It was voluntary, so they didn't volunteer. And they said they had a low count. And then they didn't do it at school anymore because we were the test case and they lost because they didn't have the turnout.
You are a hero. You are a heroine. That is awesome.
A lot of people came up to me privately and said, thank you for telling me. I had no idea. You know, and they started to read the insert and I opened some doors. I did get some angry people and... But they didn't do it, you know. I was waiting for it to come the next year, and then all these stories came out of people who had swine flu and wasn't a big deal, and it just blew over, you know. Nothing happened. So
right, but you really made a difference. I'm just absolutely tickled to hear about that. We just need more of this kind of activism. You can't know and do nothing. It's just wrong. Now, mind you, this lady has two autistic children, and she made the time to do this. I have to tell you, Cindy, if I've been stood up, I can't tell you how many times I've been stood up on interviews by parents of autistic children simply because their lives are not their own. It's whatever catastrophe is going down in your house at that time, and that's your first priority. I mean, an interview is really a secondary consideration. So, first of all, I want to thank you for coming on the show and being able to, and for taking action in light of the fact that you have a lot of stress in your life. Are you still married, or has your husband left, as so many have?
Well, he came together on this, but he still kind of thinks, you know, it was rare, or it's just our kids, and he kind of keeps quiet about it. But he at least believes it was true for us, and so that he's supportive enough that we go to a doctor and a naturopath, and as long as I can get the doctor to say it, he agrees, and I know the doctor will agree. So that we'd be on the same page. I just have to, you know, talk to the doctor, and we're talking. I end up talking to the doctor more like a colleague, you know, because I know so much about it. So, you know, they're
exactly
in the fight, and they understand. So when you get a good doctor, you just got to hold on, you know.
Right, exactly. So many people, as you say, have been kicked out of people's practices because they're not going along to get along. And I understand that doctors do not get reimbursed for well baby visits unless the child has been vaccinated. So anybody who's listening to this, a well baby visit means one thing only. Your child will be attacked with vaccines. So do not go to well baby visits. If your child is not ill, there is no reason to go to a doctor.
Here's another thing I'm doing, and you guys can steal it if you want, but